Good morning, brethren. Good morning. I'm a little bit shorter. It's just so nice to be around each other because of the promise of God. The promise of our Lord and Savior to us is that when two or more are gathered together in His name, that He is there, He is here. That's the one thing I love about that. I don't want to miss fellowship. I don't want to miss church. I don't want to miss anything, any call to come to His presence. So it's a special, every opportunity that we have to just come and be together. Every opportunity that we have to come and be together is an opportunity to come and be with our Lord and our Savior. Believe me or not, just believe it. He is right here. There is no other place that would rather be than in His presence whenever we are together. It doesn't matter how many of us, He's there. So let's go before Him now together in prayer. We praise You, our Master, our King, our Redeemer, our Savior, that You are here and that You have a word for Your people as a whole. You have a message. You have an encouragement. You have something for every single person sitting here in Your presence. We invite You, O Lord, to speak to our hearts. We invite You, Holy Spirit, to touch us at those places where we need Your touch, to encourage us, to lift us up, to lift our chin up, to turn our eyes unto our Savior. We thank You for Your word that You have prepared. Your promise is that as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow comes down from heaven and they come, they water the earth to make it bud and bring forth fruits, seed for the sower and bread for the eater. It says the same is Your word that comes from Your mouth does not return to You empty. No, it accomplished purposes for which You send them. It shall prosper in the lives of Your people. In my own heart, Lord, we thank You that You are here. We're just glad to be in Your presence and rejoice in the salvation You've given us and the hope that we have in You, Lord. It is in Your name, our Master, who died and rose again from the dead. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so today's message is about, the title is A Person After God's Heart. A Person After God's Own Heart. There are two instances in the Bible, two places in the Bible where David was declared as a man after God's own heart. Let's look at the New Testament first of all. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David. I'm reading from the NLT. God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to. The full story, you know, just like the Bible always interprets itself, you know, we get a summary in the New Testament, and then it gives us a full account in the Old Testament. That's why as believers, you know, there's no disjunctions between Old Testament and New Testament. We go to the New Testament, we see a summary, we see, you know, like how does this relate to us? And then we see the background story from the Old Testament. If we go to 1 Samuel chapter 13, we will see the full story of the full account of where this is coming that we just read in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. So in 1 Samuel chapter 13, I think it will be great if you, all of us, go back home tonight or whenever and read the whole of that chapter, okay? But I'm going to just pick out, let me just give a background first, all right? So the Philistines were the enemies of the Israelites. They had conquered them. They were ruling over them. And now the Israelites were getting ready to rebel and break away and fight and just be on their own. And Saul was the king at that time. And Jonathan and Saul were divided into two camps. Jonathan went somewhere, and Saul was in that place. God has given Jonathan victory over, you know, in the garrison of the Philistines somewhere, you know, on the east side of Jordan. And then the news came to Saul, and then Saul just said, come on, let's go. We're going to fight. And now we're going to take this part of the land. We're going to fight this time now, okay? When the Philistines heard that the Israelites were getting ready to rebel, they mustered their own army. And then they came, and then they were marching on, and they were getting ready to march in on them. And Saul became a little bit afraid and panicking, and, wow, what is he going to do? And these armies are coming. They are coming to, you know, to overrun them. And so in the meantime, Samuel, who was the judge at that time, I told him, just wait for me at Gilgal. I will be right there. We're going to offer sacrifices to God as a way to ask for the mercies of God. But in the panicky mode, Saul had just said, you know, Samuel is not here. I need to ask for God's help in this battle that is pressing in on me. Then he went ahead and started sacrificing. Actually, he did sacrifice. He made the burnt offering that he was not supposed to make. He was not a priest. That was the prerogative of the priest. And that was the background. So he did sacrifice, an unlawful sacrifice. So we pick up the story in verse 13. It says, how foolish, I'm reading from NLT, how foolish, Samuel exclaimed, you have not kept the command of the Lord your God, the Lord gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now, in verse 14, but now your kingdom must end. For the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. So it is in this backdrop of this background that we see that there was this king that was like disobeying God, not following God's direction, not aligning himself with the will of God, that we see a little ray of, you know, what the Lord has in replacement for Saul. He says he has sought out a man for himself, a man after his own heart. And of course, that man was David. So Saul was rejected because of his disobedience. The Lord is here replacing him with David, a man who will do everything God wants him to do because his heart was completely after God. God is still seeking people whose hearts will be completely after him. And that's us today. In the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9a, just the first part, we read that the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So my charge to us this morning is this. Basically, the message is this. God is looking for me. God is looking for you. He's looking all over the face of the earth, everywhere. He's looking for people whose hearts are completely committed to him. I know that we are not all there, but God, in his mercy, has a plan for us to get us to the place where our hearts will be fully committed to him. Chuck Swindoll said, a man whose life is fully in harmony with the Lord is a person that is a man after God's own heart. What is important to God is important to that person. What burdens the Lord burdens you. When he says go to the right, you go to the right. When he says stop that in your life, you stop it. When he says that is wrong and I want you to change, you deal with it. You follow that. You come to terms with it because you have a heart after God. You're responsive to the Lord. Your heart is inclined to the Lord. You know, he calls us our shepherd. We are his sheep. He nudges us. This is the way you go. You go. That is a man after God's own heart. There are a few qualities that we can glean from the pages of the scriptures about David that we can relate to as a man that is after God's own heart. First, we see the evidence of the spirituality of David, a spiritual man whose heart is very sensitive to the things of God. His heart is inclined to do the will of God. A man after my own heart that will do everything I want him to. If you go back to that Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says, a man after my own heart, he will do everything I want him to. Imagine a world where every single person on the face of this earth, I'm not saying it's possible, I'm just saying, is doing the will of God. Imagine that world. It's a perfect place. There's not going to be thieves or robbers or violence or all of the things that we deal with now. It's not going to be. If everyone is doing the will of God in that world. But God has a plan for us. This world is broken. This world is not that place yet. Well, God is building his own people. He's building his own kingdom. In the midst of this broken world, where people are committed to doing the will of God. All of this cultural fight and battles and the things going on in this world right now that we are in would not have been necessary. Would not be. Because everyone is doing the will of God. This is the call of God on all of us, especially at this time where the devil is raging and trying to take over the whole world and take it down and turn everything around and call evil good and call good evil. And call darkness light, and everyone is following. But God has called us as people that we do, he's called us to do his will. If we do his will, we are going to be distinct, we're going to be different, we're going to be set apart, we're going to be the light that he calls us to be, we will be. Our light will shine the darkness around us. People will know the difference and say, Indeed, God is among you. This is the call of God on us, that our hearts be fully committed to him. We know that David was not a perfect individual. He wasn't. He was flawed. And that's the good news for us. We are flawed. We are normal human beings. But we have the Spirit of God inside of us. When David was called to become king, I don't have time to go through all of the stories. You know, I was, you know, I was chatting with my wife yesterday about this, and I just said, you know what? There's no time to go through all of the things that was written about David. I just want to highlight a few. David, from the day he was called, he was anointed by Samuel, and the oil was poured over him. The Bible says there that from then on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. David, I see him as the model of what believers in the future will look like, will be like. God chose David to be that model example for us, because we see our weaknesses, we see that we are human. He's a man. He wasn't an angel, he was a man like us. But the Spirit of God was on David. Guess what? We have the Spirit of the Lord constantly on us, inside of us. He lives inside of us. That is the difference, brethren. That's the difference. So David was a spiritual man because the Spirit of God was in him. You, me, everyone, we are spiritual people because the Spirit of God is living inside of us. The Spirit that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of us. We are people, ordinary, but we are super extraordinary, not in ourselves, but because the Spirit of God is living inside of you. Selah. Think about that. The creator of the universe is inside of you. You're spiritual, just like David was. We saw an example of David floundering when he was supposed to be in battle. Climb over the top of the roof and looking, and found a man that was bathing. And called this woman, called this woman. I said, who is that? That's Bathsheba. And called him, sent for her, had an affair with Bathsheba against God's will. That was adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But when Nathan confronted David and said, there is a story, it's beautiful, how he used, there's a man that had many lambs, and then there's one that has only one, and then this guy went and took the only one that the guy has and slaughtered it, and what will you do to that person? He said, yeah, who is that guy? We're going to deal with that. He said, you are the person. You took the wife of Uriah. You committed adultery with her. We see the heart of David there. He says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, when Nathan confronted him, he said, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has always put away your sin. A spiritual man was quick to repent of his sin. He was quick to admit his sin. There are two psalms in the Bible. My go-to psalm, and I know it's for you too. And I know you know it already. Psalm 32, Psalm 51. Yeah? God used David to write those two psalms. You know why? So that you and I, spiritual people, when we find ourselves not fully committed to the Lord as we ought to, and we are going aside, we have the words written on Psalm 32 to express our hearts to the Lord. Psalm 32, verse 3 to 5. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. This is the words that you and I will speak on a daily basis when we don't have words to express how disappointed we feel, how guilty, how shameful, how we feel we have let the Lord down. We turn to this place. We express ourselves. He gave us a full-blown, sometimes I will read verse Psalm 51 from the beginning to the end. How many of you do that? I think I'm not the only one. Psalm 51, constantly I read that, because when I fail the Lord, I run there. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions, and then I name the things that I've just done. I name all the things that I've done that is not pleasing to the Lord. I know you do too, because you're a spiritual person, because you're a person after God's own heart. This is what God wants us to do. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. This is what we do. We do not live in sin. We do not keep sins in our heart. We confess our sins. In verse 4, it says, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil. I name my sin before the Lord. You name it. I've done this evil in your sight, that you might be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. We don't have enough time. I wrote them all here, you know, asking the Lord to wash him, purge me and wash me, and then revive my heart. Hide your face from my sin, blot out my iniquity, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. This is our heart, all of us, almost on a daily basis. Why? We want to live before our God clean. The blood of Jesus washes us from all our sins and cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. This is a man that is spiritual, constantly bringing anything that offends the Lord to his presence and confessing it and receiving mercy and grace that the Lord has provided through the blood of Jesus and cleansing us. A spiritual man keeps a short record. I heard that like 30 years ago. Keep a short record. Our sins do not linger. We bring them to the Lord. We confess them. We forsake them. Whoever that keeps his sin in his heart will not prosper. If we confess and forsake, we will have mercy. Jesus Christ has paid the price. His blood washes us from our sins. Be encouraged, brethren. The Lord has paid the price. Let him wash you constantly. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You are blessed. Happy is the person. Oh, how fortunate are you because your sins are cleansed. Because you have favor with the Lord. David broke out in Psalm 103, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He who forgives all your sin. Forgives. That's something that's going on all the time. He who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases. Ha! The blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us. I cannot overemphasize that. You are blessed. Rejoice. Be happy. You know what that place, you know, where you are when your sins, when you feel the Lord has taken away your sins and is forgiving you, that's a blessed place to be in. And you rejoice. Your love for the Lord is renewed. And your heart is sparkling and you are bubbling and you are happy in the Lord. This is what he wants for us. This is the price he paid for us. This is your experience on every single day experience you have with the Lord. I have found my servant David, who's a man after my own heart, who will do everything I committed him. Psalm 89 verse 20, it says, I have found my servant David, with my holy oil I have anointed him. David had a servant heart. Spiritual person, a servant heart together. He was called the servant of the Lord. We are servants of the Lord. We serve the King. We serve Jesus. We take orders from Jesus. We serve him. We serve him in our places of work. I like this thing that Pastor Chuck always says. He says, I am a teacher. I am a servant of the Lord, but disguised as a teacher. Huh? You are the servant of the King of Kings, disguised as a nurse at your place of work, disguised as an engineer. You're disguised. You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the heart of David. Psalm 78, verse 70 to 72 says, it shows David his servant and took him from the sheepfold, from following the ewes that had the young, and brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. David shepherded the people according to the integrity of his heart. That's verse 72. What? So you are a spiritual person, you're a servant of Jesus, and you are serving wherever you are with integrity in your heart. What is integrity? That's what David had. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4 to 5, I don't know if I have that on the slide. I'll read it. 1 Kings chapter 9, okay, verse 4 to 5. Solomon just built the temple to the Lord, happy, prayed to the Lord, knelt down, prayed, and so on. Beautiful prayer in the previous chapter, chapter 8, and then chapter 9, the Lord appeared to Solomon. I have heard your prayer. God was pleased with Solomon. I have heard your prayer. But God did not stop right there. He continues to say in verse 4, now, if you walk before me as your father David walked in the integrity of his heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, just like David did, you know. And if you keep my statutes and my judgment, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David, your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. God had a word for Solomon. He says, look at the legacy of David, a man after my own heart, who walked before me in integrity of his heart, in the uprightness of his heart. This is what I want for you. That is what he told Solomon on that dedication day. He referred to David as a man that has integrity in his heart. Integrity must be very important to God. It must be very important to God. I want to quote one long quote from Swindoll Study Bible. I use Swindoll Study Bible. This one grabbed me. He says, talking to me, he says, ask yourself, am I faithful in the little things? This is describing integrity, okay? Am I faithful in the little things? Do you do your job well when no one is around? Do you keep your promises? Do you meet your deadlines? Do you pay your debt on time? Do you behave morally in private? Integrity is really who you are when no one is watching. That's integrity. Are you honest with your expense account? The person who is faithful in the little things is someone God can trust with bigger things. We all need to make integrity our life's goal. That's what God calls us to. So, David was a spiritual person, was a servant of the Lord, was a man of integrity. There's a man after God's own heart. David feared the Lord. That's the fourth thing I'm saying now. He had deep reverence for the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6. David said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing that he is anointed of the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. David refused to kill Saul when he had an opportunity to do that because he had the fear of God in his heart. David was a man that trusted the Lord. God calls us to trust in him with all our hearts. David did not take vengeance by himself. In 1 Samuel 24, 12 and 15, let the Lord judge between you and me. Let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. Therefore, let the Lord judge, the judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand. David recognized that vengeance is the Lord's, that the Lord will take vengeance. We mess things up when we try to help God and we try to fight back on our own in our own way. We mess it up. David was not like that. Twice he had an opportunity to strike and kill Saul, who was pursuing him. He was, well, this guy was about to kill me anyway, so I kill him. He knew he was going to be the king. Well, God, you know, I'm going to be the king now. You've anointed me several years. Maybe this is the time now. Huh. Let's get rid of this guy. I can go to be a king. Huh. That was not David. He did not do that. He waited for the Lord's timing, for the Lord's time. So you're asking me, how did David get to where he is? I want to close with this. I have four more pages, but I'm not going to read them. I'm not going to go over them. I'm going to close with how David got to where he was. I'm praying to the Lord, someday I'm going to have an opportunity to continue and finish this part of this message, if the Lord wills. But one thing that I want to say before we finish was this. There are several ways, several indications in the Bible that point to how David got to where he was to become a man after God. I'm just going to zero in on only one. I have several. I'm not going to get to them. Only one. Just one. David was a man that knew solitude. David knew solitude. He was a shepherd boy out there with the sheep and the goats around the hillsides, alone with himself, is God. David spent a lot of time alone. The men and the women after God's own heart, all over history. This is what the common thing, if you read biographies of Christians and leaders, the common thing among all of them is they were people of solitude. They spent a long time alone with the Lord, with themselves and the Lord. God is calling all of us to be like David. Well, not like to be like him, but allow his spirit to work in our lives in quiet, solitude places. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not on the slide, I know that. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Jesus got up early. He went to a quiet place to go seek the face of the Lord. You want to write it down. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. That was our Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, before he was able to lead the people 40 years in the wilderness. Paul, he told us in the book of Galatians, he said, I did not go up to Jerusalem to consult those who were apostles before me. Instead, I went away to Arabia. And later I returned to the city of Damascus. Paul's life changed radically at his conversion. As he grapples with the truth of the gospel, his understanding of God, the law, the scripture, they have to be walked over and reframed. So he moved to Arabia. This is the place that was removed, and deliberately obscured. This is where he discovered the real Paul, who he is. You discover who you are in the secret, in the solid, in the place that is quiet and obscured, and you know that place for yourself where you sit by yourself and you are sitting in the presence of the Lord and God is revealing to you who you are. That's a man after God's own heart. So he had to be revealed, God has to reveal himself who you are, Paul. He saw the ugliness of his depravity. It was there where he lost in wonder and love and praise that he truly worshipped and he never, as he had never worshipped the Lord before. We need such times as well. We don't need to go to Arabia, but we need to go to personal Arabia in our own house or somewhere where we can slow down, kick the world out, shut the door, kick the world out, kick them out of your life, sit there with the Lord, let him reveal who you are to you. Let him show you how to become a man after God's own heart. Maybe you need to redesign your schedule to find time for honest prayer, to seek the Lord before your busy schedule takes over your thoughts, to withdraw from noise and demands and focus on God, to take Jesus' attitude of regular communion with the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ did that regularly. Did he need to? No, he has to set the example for us. To reflect on the priorities of Jesus, the priorities that Jesus has for your own life, and to determine to pray more on a regular basis. Well, action. There's so many here, I can't get to it. But solitude, let's start from there. Like David was, solitude. A place, a quiet place. It's up to you, but God wants that from us. He needs us to have that where we set apart. And he's not judging you. He's not condemning you. He just loves you. He can't wait until you run to that place where you meet with him and just sit in quietly in his presence and let him reveal yourself to him, to you. He loves you. God loves us. Jesus loves us so much. He wants the best for us. So, brethren, let's take the word of the Lord to heart. Let's make room for the Lord in our lives. Let's find the solitude, quiet, obscure places where we can be with the Lord, where he can reveal ourselves to us and help us to set our priority right. Let us pray to the Lord. Let's pray. If you know this song, just sing it with me. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the portal. I am your clay. Make me and mold me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. We praise you, oh Lord, because your plan for us is to be changed and become like Jesus. We thank you for the Spirit of God who lives inside of us, who helps us, who transforms us, who changes us. We cannot change ourselves. Only your power can change us. Give us the grace that each of us need to follow through with what you've spoken unto us. Each of us, I made my own resolve in the power of the Lord to do what I need to do. Whatever your people have determined in their heart, help all of us to carry it out, that your word will bear fruit in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.